WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. There will be a crab cake being delivered here in about 24 minutes. I'm at State Fair. I've had the crab cakes here. They're delicious. Had a Cobb salad today. Come for the chicken and waffles, the shrimp and grits. Delicious. Big happy hour going on. We're doing this Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Fridays. We're going to be doing a special Tuesday edition up at the local in Falston. But we're doing it all because of the Maryland Lottery. They sponsor us. Bill Wedell's going to get a winning lottery ticket here. We've given a few winners away already. Had a lot of parties out here and people having fun. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. I got a banker here and may say something about 0% financing and where my wife's looking at getting a car loan and she's going to buy a car from Dennis and how much? And then I hear real estate and prime and all this stuff. Here to talk all things banking and hopefully a little Janet Jackson and Anita Baker on Mother's Day weekend and getting me ready for Bryan Adams, Joan Jett, Kiss. I wore this for you. It's my Aerosmith belt buckle.
Nice.
That's Aerosmith. So I'm ready for the CFG Bank Arena. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. Bill Wedell is here from CFG Bank. President, right?
Not President, CEO.
Yep. Right, okay. And local. When I say meet me in Catonsville, I don't have to give you directions.
Correct. I grew up not far from here, actually, about maybe 5 miles southeast in Lansdowne. So
Lansdowne.
Beautiful Lansdowne.
You were a Viking, yep. Were you?
I was, yeah.
There is a rumor that you were once a student of Don Mohler.
9th grade social studies. Absolutely.
What do you remember? Was that contemporary issues? What was that, American history? You don't remember?
It went back. Not only American history, but world history.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what he taught. And look at how you turned out. You're bank president. You're respectable.
Yeah. Somehow figured it out.
We got Dundalk and Lansdowne coming together. So there you go. It's like Wonder Twins. For your bank. And I go back to almost getting a piece of business with your bank 15 years ago when Brian Billick bought into my company on behalf of Living Classrooms Foundation. We had a meeting with the then president of CFG Bank. He was a Giants fan. We had a meeting at the Center Club. We sat down. And I left not really fully understanding what CFG Bank was, mm-hmm. but there was a point where they were going to have storefronts. Now, I'm going back a long time,
yep.
and people started seeing a CFG Bank pop up in Towson, but it's your tower. If you go down 83, strategically located right above our competitors at 105.7, right off of Clarkview, right? You're there, mm-hmm. and people would see it and say, and they either bank there or they don't. A little bit of advertising here and again. But I don't know that people knew how local the bank is. Mm-hmm. And then you make this true splash in the last 90 days that more people, if you said to this group of people now, I'm with CFG Bank, they would say, oh, that's the arena. And they couldn't have said that 6 months ago, right? I mean, you've changed a lot about your bank just in reputation alone.
Yeah, so I'll say the number of people who have come up to me in the last few months and said, I've never heard of you before, and now all I see is your name splashed all over the place. And so so let's go back, Nestor, because basically what happened, what precipitated all this was when Howard Bank sold about a year and a half ago, we recognized that we were going to be the largest bank headquartered in Baltimore. And we also recognized that not a lot of people knew about us because we only do commercial lending. We only have 3 branches. So there's not a lot of touch points with
You're
folks.
Not a traditional passbook, I'm going to see you in the mall. Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not on every Ritchie Highway and Merritt Boulevard and York Road.
Correct.
Literally. Right.
Yeah. And so so when that happened, we said, okay, you know, we're going to call our marketing firm because our marketing plan just changed tremendously. Right. Because it was an opportunity. And, you know, you only get so many opportunities in life. So we want to take advantage of this. And while we're going through that process of setting up the marketing plan, the invitation came from the Oakville Group to learn about the what they're doing with the arena and the opportunity for naming rights. And quite frankly, when they contacted me, they invited me to this little happy hour, and I thought to myself, okay, I'll go and have a couple of drinks and a couple of apps on you, and that'll be that. I didn't think there would be any way that we would be able to figure that out. And after that meeting, we started talking about it internally, And the Oakview Group came back to us and said, we've got some interest, but we really like you guys. Not only because you're local, but we're very committed to the community in Baltimore.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so so they're like, we want you to bid. And we looked at ourselves, we're like, well, we've never done this before. We fortunately found out that there are actually consulting firms that specialize in valuing naming rights. So we went out and contacted one of those, and they're great in terms of helping us see the value in the various aspects of having the naming rights. And then they put us in touch with a couple other banks that had already been through this process, and we talked to a couple of those, and every person we talked to said that it far exceeded their expectations in terms of the impact of getting those naming rights.
I don't think there's any way you can't be pleased with it. I mean, I'm pleased in that I'm not pleased at Janet Jackson's more than I want to spend on Saturday night, and I saw Seal twice this week. And pricing is sort of everything for everybody, right? It's how much is the crab cake at State Fair? If it's $60, nobody's buying it. I know that because a couple years ago, everybody had to sell crab cakes at $60 when crab meat was $50 a pound, right?
Right.
For me to see the roster. And I'm a concert guy, man. Like, I am a
pro. I know you are. Yep.
Nobody goes to more concerts. Nobody's been to more concerts than me, unless you're in a band. I mean, I go to a lot of shows. And there's only so many nights, $200, $300 nights I have in me in any given year. Probably got a lot of $30 to $80 nights in me. Mm-hmm. A lot of lawn nights at Merriweather, but not a lot of VIP. I value what I value. Everybody can see it however they want to see it. There's nothing in my life, and I've called the 98 Rock 467 ROCK to get the concert update since I was 10 years old, and I've seen every Painter's Mill ad, every Merriweather package A, B, C, D, E, and Sunday in 1981 to go see Ann Murray and Engelbert Humperdinck, every Capitol Center, I was the music critic, every 930 Club roster, and even the Bayou. When I see the roster that the CFG Bank has in play now, and it's been open 8 weeks, not even 8 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I look at it, and I mean this, it looks like Madison Square Garden would look. Mm-hmm. From a who's coming and when and how often, and the circus is still coming because I looked at that the other day.
Yep.
But I went onto the website just to say, when is Earth, Wind, and Fire and Lionel Richie? That's August 19th. And then there's a show on the 17th as well. Barry Manilow's there.
Mm-hmm.
All off the top of my head, just because I know this stuff. John Mayer's there in October. Kiss is there in December. Then they add Aerosmith and the Black Crowes.
Mm-hmm. Queen.
I almost wore my Queen belt. I have a Queen belt buckle. It was that or Aerosmith, but I thought I would impress you with the Aerosmith belt buckle.
I should have worn my Queen socks then.
All right, good enough. That's fine. Well, we don't have a Queen now. We have a King. I saw that last weekend on television. I'm for whatever Oakview promised, and I went to see John Mayer last year at USB up in New Jersey or Long Island, and then I went to the Austin Arena to see Springsteen back in February before the arena here opened. The promise was, we're going to have world-class entertainment. We're not dressing the pig up, putting a coat of paint on it, and we're going to roll out one Aerosmith a year or one Eagles a year. Maybe we get Springsteen every 10 years. For this first year, I'm blown away that there are concerts there that I can't afford to go to all of them.
Right.
And that's just a reality, right?
Right?
I mean, but I want to go to all of them.
Yes.
That's different.
Right. And so one of the great things about the Oakview Group, number one, they're great people. They do business the right way. They're committed to the community. Our partnership has them contributing a certain amount of money to the Baltimore community as a part of the deal. That's who they are. But in addition, one of their founding partners is a guy named Irving Azoff. He's a behind-the-scenes guy, but he's probably one of the biggest guys in the music industry.
Yeah, everybody knows who he is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He's a legend. And so that's how they're able to bring these fantastic acts to the
arena.
How
many are you going to? Are you going to Janet Jackson?
I am.
All right.
Yeah, I was at Lizzo Tuesday night. I'm still paying the price for that.
How was Lizzo?
Lizzo was very entertaining. I will say with all the teenage girls screaming, it took a couple of days for my eardrums to recover from that.
I went to see Seal Wednesday night. It was, my wife's out of town with her family for Mother's Day. They're on a mountain in Asheville hiking, doing their thing, drinking beer. I'm home with the cat, right? I got back from Maui. Life's okay. You know, I'm working. I love my work. I'm here at State Fair with Bill Wedell from CFG Bank Arena at CFG Bank, and we're having cocktails and people are having fun. I'm giving away a lot. I got a good gig, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Seal thing hit me at Anthem on Wednesday, and I had to drop my wife off at the airport, so I'm halfway to D.C. already. 3 in the afternoon, I'm like, a beautiful day. I'm looking down in the water. I haven't done it since before the plague.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a building. Have you been to the Anthem?
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
It is just a stunning.
Yep.
And I've been in that neighborhood and what they dream of there and the activity. There's a Pendry there, right?
Love
all
it.
Like
the wharf. It's on the wharf in D.C., and they have done a fantastic job. You know, I've been there, you know, several times. You pull your car into the garage, you know, Friday night or Saturday morning, and you don't have to go back to your car at all because on that wharf are restaurants, bars, music venues,
they had a whole
hotels.
They had crab. I'd call them Maryland crabs, but they were in D.C.
Yeah.
But they have the same crabs we have here.
Yeah.
And they had them on the deck. I mean, it really was spectacular in a way that if you haven't been down there, it's very grown up, right? And it's something that you see that you want to bring here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, and look, we all know I have my differences with John Angelos, and you might have differences with Wes Moore. I don't know. But Wes and John went down to Atlanta to see what they did in baseball and say, how can we bring that here?
Right.
And now we're trying to figure out the Inner Harbor.
Right.
And then we got Topgolf. And when we got things happening in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came in, and you were the first one, you and Jack and the bank, to say, all right, we're going to put, well, maybe not you guys, maybe it was Weller and Port Covington that they're rebranded, and I'll never call it that, by the way, even though you'll put a location there one day. It'll always be Port Covington to me.
I get
like
it.
Lansdowne's Lansdowne to you and Dundalk's Dundalk to me. But you were the first one to put your name up on the arena, your first in. I mean, the Orioles are getting better. The Ravens have Lamar. I'll get all that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you were the first ones to say, we're going to take the elephant, the 60-year-old, old tired girl that I, you know, my affinity of the Civic Center, right? So
yeah.
I'm the guy who loves it. I always have loved it. Always, I miss it. It was kind of cool being him, old girl for the Eagles. Looking forward to going back. But you invested in it, and you're a Baltimore company. That's why I brought you out today, more than anything else, to say, what do you see? What do you see? Tell them what they need to see when they come in for Lizzo or Janet Jackson. Or what? Because they're going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming in. I've already got Manilow and Lionel Richie tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming to John Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go see Kit. I mean, it's appointment.
Yep. So I'm going to talk. I'll talk about the arena and the Baltimore Peninsula in combination, and then come back to the arena. I like to share the story because you know people have asked the question you just asked about the arena, about the Baltimore Peninsula. And what I share a story where I remember reading when Kevin Plank decided to put the headquarters of Under Armour in Baltimore City, so, however many years ago, and somebody came up to him and said, what are you thinking? Why would you ever do that? Put it inside Baltimore City. And Kevin had the best response. He said, if I don't do it, who will? And what that means is he has the wherewithal to do it and the desire to do it. And what I tell people is, you know, when I think about that and what I think about what we're doing, while we're no Under Armour, we're in a similar position where we have the ability to do these things.
To participate.
To participate. And to be a leader, quite frankly, right? And we have the desire to do it. And so when we looked at the arena initially, it fit in perfectly with our plan. You know, Howard Bank had sold. And we
love Marianne.
Yep.
Love
Marianne.
Yep,
I saw Marianne this morning.
How's she doing?
She's doing fantastic.
She's one of my truly favorite people that I've come across in life and in business that has been a truly trusted confidant to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever said that because they never really they sponsored us for a minute and a half in sort of a smallish way. But behind the scenes, having someone in the banking world that you can trust when you're buying and selling a company, which She was a very trusted resource of mine in 2008, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. You know how the banking world looked at that point.
Oh, yeah.
I remember she and I went out on the back at the Four Seasons when it was brand new, and she gave me 30 minutes of her time to have a heart-to-heart. The reason I'm still in business 15 years later, a piece of advice that she gave me. So she's a special human.
Yes.
So when you say Howard Bank and you say Marianne,
yep.
She also sent me to a great meal in Pittsburgh one night, but she's awesome. From that side of the fence. You know, she's...
She's
a yinzer. Yeah, we've gotten through that. But anyway, so Howard Bank was... She and that group worked very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Hale, before that, mm-hmm. worked very, very hard in making Baltimore more than a branch town.
Correct. Yes. And so, by the way, she is killing it at Loyola School of Business.
I knew that.
Yeah, so I just came from a meeting there this morning.
All right.
Yeah, so I know she's killing it. Not surprisingly.
No, not at all. I'll bet on Marianne. Whatever she's doing it well.
Yeah, so you know, so when we were looking at the arena, and we were talking, you know, internally with various people, including our board of directors, you know, some people brought up the idea that, well, you know, it's in a rough part of town. You know, do we really want to do that? But as we talked to the Oakview Group and the folks that they put us in touch with, you know, they've done this all over the world. Sometimes they build from scratch, sometimes they renovate. And they told us a story of another arena in L.A. that was in a rough part of town. And within a very short period of time, there was a five-block radius that was thriving because of that arena. So, you know, you think about the CFG Bank Arena. Right now, it's killing it. They've sold the suites faster than Austin. Austin's the number one music venue in the country. We've sold our suites faster than them. We've sold season tickets faster, sponsorships faster, and the tickets for the shows. And obviously, these bands are playing, you know, many arenas.
Premium.
Our tickets are selling faster than pretty much every other arena.
Well, I would also say it costs more to see a show in Baltimore right now because there's a demand to go to the shows.
I'm not. Yep.
Janet Jackson is $15 and $20 in some markets. In some markets, Springsteen. I paid $40 to see Springsteen in Atlanta. I paid $26 to see Springsteen in Houston. You couldn't walk in the building for under $2.25. And it really is because there's a demand about the arena,
yep.
about Baltimore, about it being unique,
yep.
about it being smaller, about it being something to see.
Yep.
And I don't know why that is, but it's a fact.
Yeah, well, I can help you out with that a little bit. So I've gotten to know Frank Remish. You know Frank?
Known him a long, long time.
Right, been the general manager 35 years, I believe.
Done an unbelievable job
yep.
there long before you came along.
Yep.
Getting U2 and the Eagles and Bruce
yeah.
Spring and the Rolling Stones. I leave anybody out.
Yep.
Pavarotti, right?
It's a long list.
Yeah,
right?
It's a big list.
And so, you know, he basically told me before the Oakview Group came here, he could always sell the market because it's a good market for concerts here. He could not sell the arena. That was the hard part because people, you know, obviously.
It didn't have suites.
A lot of people wanted to, you know, plow it into the ground and, you know, start over.
But
right?
It didn't have premium anything.
Correct.
That's just where it's at.
Right. So by the way, so for the people who don't know, the Oakview Group literally totally gutted the place and totally redid it. It now has state-of-the-art acoustics. People will not recognize it when they go
the
there.
The acoustics have, it sounds like it's built for music because it has been.
Correct.
It hasn't been built for opera and not hockey. Like it was in 1962.
I mean,
I had a shining moment at the Eagles concert. Did I tell you the moment that I had?
I believe it. You'll have to refresh my memory.
I've told the story. I didn't go to the bathroom at the Eagles show. I had a really good seat. And as you know, the Eagles don't have any not hits, right? And it's not even about hits. I love the Eagles. Like, I love Seal the other night. I don't want to go to the bathroom. Therefore, I don't drink a whole lot because I learn, right? Ball game, you get 18 chances to pee, you know. Football,
right.
You get some timeouts, you know. But concert, you know, you might get a guitar solo if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I decided to pee during Funk 49 because it's, you know, it's a little stretchy, you know,
yeah.
bluesy. And I left to go pee, and I went down instead of up. And I didn't even know what I was entering. I went into what was a function room. There were function rooms underneath the section. Function room 102, 104, 106. Function room 102 was where I had every press conference when I was 15, 16, 17 years old with Gino Briaco.
God, that's good.
The function rooms of 104 and 106 were where every rock and roll band... I met Stevie Wonder in that room. In what is now your bar, I met Stevie Wonder in that. It's where they did all meet and greets, where I met Bon Jovi. I mean, on and on. I could go through the list of my music critic days. I walked down in there, and there was no one in there because the concert was going on. When I went down, it was like a shining moment. I walked into this space that's like really special to me in a lot of ways. I mean, I interviewed Ric Flair in that space, right? You know, as a reporter. I walked in, and it was a space I had been in my whole life, but it was a different space. And it was shiny and bright and beautiful. And I'm running, and I had to pee, and the Eagles are playing. And I want to look at the Led Zeppelin poster, and I want to look at the Rolling Stones poster, and I want to look at the Elvis stuff. And I'm like, I'm not a tourist. I'll be back. I didn't get a tour ahead of time, and I'm glad I didn't have a tour because I'm glad I had this moment. There were waiters and waitresses. You know, the bar was open, but there was no one at the bar. I could have stolen the bar. And I just went in, and I peed. And as I'm in there peeing, I'm thinking, my God, did that just happen? And I'm like, I'm in a hurry to get back in, but I'm going to look at that Zeppelin poster. So I came out. I took a selfie with a Zeppelin poster. I ran back out to my seat, and I sat down. The song's still playing. It was a 45-second little in and out. And I said to my wife, you have to pee. And she's like, no, I don't. And I said, no, you have to pee. You're going to pee during the encore. You're going to walk down there and see this because you're not going to believe it. And she walked down. We saw it together, waited the encore, went back out and watched Desperado and did all that. I haven't been back. And I'm going to go back. It made me want to drink in it. Yeah. It made me that if I score a Janet Jackson ticket on Saturday night, first I want to get there early to see Ludacris. But if I score a Janet Jackson ticket, unlike almost every other arena where what time Luda's on at 7:25, I'll walk in at 7:10, pee and sit down. I'm probably going to want to get there early to just experience it. It was a beautiful space. So that's the only story I have for you, really, other than it's kind of dark on purpose. It's a little cramped in areas because they couldn't build it out like Fenway Park or Lambeau Field. It is what it is. But as taking the venue and making it something new, the thing that makes it beautiful for me, for my heart, is seeing the Eagles play in the same place my dad took me to see the Clippers. And my dad took me to see Meadowlark Lemon and Curly Neal. Yep. And the place where I grew up in the elevator and the place I covered my first hockey game and to the place I went as a kid to get a hockey puck from the old Clippers on my dad's day off, you know? Yeah. Like, it's a special place, bro. It really is. It means a lot to me.
They did a great job. One of the brilliant things they did was they opened up the spaces. So when you go into the concession areas behind the stands, it's not these narrow hallways any longer.
You don't have to wait for anything either.
No, they've designed
it. It's like a royal farm. You grab the beer, you scan, you go.
Yeah. Yeah, which is
brilliant. Oh, my God. Right? Yeah. I mean, you don't miss songs. You don't wait in line.
Yes. But let's go back to my Frank Remish conversation. You know, I was telling him how
I live downtown, so I'm the wrong guy. Yeah. I would walk over to see Van Halen, to see Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah. Like, I didn't have that challenge. It's always been beautiful to me, I guess, to everybody else.
Right. Well, what Frank is telling me now that we have a world-class concert venue and a great market, the bands are calling him now. He doesn't have to call anybody. The word is spreading throughout the music industry that Baltimore now has a world-class music venue, and they want to come here. And so, between that, they're a bit on the Paramount music venue down in by the Horseshoe. We're going to have bands coming through here all the time now.
Well, part of it is supporting it, and part of the things that do support in and around everything, and I've talked to, I had Ron Legler on last week. I invited you down to Fadley's because I was trying to keep it a neighborhood. And you're from this side of town. And you had the date today, so we put it here. We're at State Fair, by the way. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Selling windows, giving away Maryland Lottery tickets. We had a lot of winners here earlier today. Had a $10 winner over in the corner who was very, very happy that I bought them their first drink today, or the Maryland Lottery did at least. The notion that you're going to come down and go to see Six at the Hippodrome, or you're going to come down and see Lizzo, or you're going to come down to an Oriole game, or you're, you know, whatever it's going to be, there's going to be food. It's going to be an experience. Mm-hmm. And part of that is the harbor is going to be rethought. You'll call it by its not God-given name, but I'm going to continue to call it Port Covington. Like, all of that's going to happen. But the experience of going to a Amici's with my wife and then going and seeing Bryan Adams and Joan Jett and walking across the city. When we went to the Eagles, we had dinner at Amici's and we walked across the city. We parked in Little Italy and did it that way, right? Mm-hmm. But then the finding a place to park, finding a place to eat, finding your mojo for an Oriole game, for whatever your downtown experience is, I think that... It's the Crab Cake Tour. They got crab cakes. All right, man. Thanks to Evan and Keith and everybody out here at State. This is a great crab. This is a great crab cake. We'll get to these in a minute. But the notion that you're going to want a crab cake, right? And no offense to State Fair or Beaumont or El Guapo, that you would come here now and eat this before Janet Jackson. It's 4:45 in the evening. And then go down to the arena and go to the bar the gold, beautiful bar that I'm talking about. But the notion that downtown as a full-on destination for dining, entertainment, after the show, a place to walk to get a beer, all of that, you were the first ones to buy in and say, don't judge it by what it is. Come down and participate. But see the vision of what this is going to be 5 years from now when we stack 5 years of Janet Jackson's and Lizzo's and John Mayer's and this kind of act with a baseball team, with a football team, with a harbor, that there is a 3.0. There's a renaissance happening here. And I talked to Ron about it in the new Lexington market, right? There's a lot to be proud about, and that's why I'm Baltimore Positive. There's so many Bills and Franks and Collins coming on in 3 weeks, by the way. He's in June. But people, you know, Kirby Fowler running parts of the city and then going to the zoo. There are good people in this city that really care. And it pisses me off when people say, I'm not going down there because of X or Y or Z. I want you to say I'm going down there because CFG Bank, Frank Remish, the Arena, Lizzo, Janet Jackson, the Eagle, whatever your taste is, the Orioles, Radley Rutschman. We need people to have that message, and it's important. And for you to step up is really important.
Well, you know, appreciate you saying that. One of the things that the way I see it is people are going to come down to see the shows, right? Because, like you say, you want to see, you know, certain artists. And I think what's happening is, people are talking about these shows like it was an event. Like, hey, if you weren't there, you missed something. And I see that happening.
If you weren't at the Eagles, you missed something.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, if you weren't at Springsteen, you missed something.
Yeah.
I missed Lizzo the other night, and it was all over my Facebook. I mean, everybody, it's not my music per se.
No.
But if you would have called me and said at 6:30, I got a ticket, I would have gone because I love music, but I was at Seal. I couldn't have gone. I was at Seal Wednesday night because that's what I wanted to do. But, I mean, I'm a 3-4-night-a-week concert guy. And look, it's no secret, the Orioles and the Ravens, they credential my employee and not me. So I'm uninvited to those places. From a work standpoint, it has opened the passion for my rock and roll in a way that, and there's no offense to your arena, I love Merriweather. I was at Merriweather. I love the anthem. I was there the other night. I didn't love the Met up in Philadelphia, incidentally. It's not a place I would go back. I don't feel that way about the arena. Or certainly, but Merriweather. I was at M3 all day last Saturday with my wife. And it's lovely, and it's lovely that we have it, and we almost lost it. And I've told that story. And that's community development with, you know, Seth Hurwitz and them putting concerts on. But my summer calendar is built around Barry Manilow and Earth, Wind & Fire and Lionel Richie because I'm not going to miss those events. And we haven't had that in the city
Yep.
I'm make me want to move back in the city, Bill.
Right.
So the decision to do this, take me a little bit more about and how the sausage is made, because you even have admitted in the beginning, and you're understated in your nature, but you weren't really all that interested. You didn't understand it. And now as you sit here, and I was with you having lunch maybe 6 months ago before you decided to do it, that we would be here having a crab cake and you'd be on your 10th concert into this. It didn't even seem like your personality or even Jack's. You're having a lot of fun with this. It's been a wonderful thing for you and the band.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I was the CFO before I got into this role. So I'm a numbers guy.
You're a number cruncher.
But I've adjusted since I've been in this role, and I saw the value. I mean, the timing was absolutely perfect for us to get our name out there, and so that was obviously a driving force. But you know, as we talk to people, about the challenges that we could face, we said that's okay. We're still going to do it. But going to the heart of your question, the thing that really, really helped was getting to know the people at the Oakview Group. They've had such great success doing this in so many other places, and we've talked to other people who work with them.
There are a lot of people who said, it can't be done here. It's Baltimore. It ain't going to do... You know, it's very easy to piss on things, and I don't like that. And for somebody to open their ears and say, no, we're going to do it. There's a model for this, and there's no reason we can't do it.
Correct.
We have these resources. We have assets here.
Yeah.
Incredible assets.
No, you're right. There's been so much negativity around Baltimore, and that's why people were saying that. But Tim Lewicki, who is another founding partner of the Oakview Group, he was the first general manager of the Baltimore Blast. So he has some roots in Baltimore.
He remembers the rats in the office 45 years ago.
Yes. And so, you know, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure he was the one who probably convinced his management team.
Baltimore's an opportunity.
We're going to Baltimore, right. And it will absolutely work in Baltimore.
Well, it's working, man. It really is. And I want to say this to you, as we're in State Fair here. There's young people, old people, black people, white people, right people, left people, North people, college people, Oriole fans, or NBA draft watchers, all this. Sports in my life in 31 years, and I've written this in my books, right? It's the thing that's brought people together. Parades around the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the baseball team is as multicultural as they could or should be. But man, music makes the people come together, as Madonna once said.
Yep.
And I love that song. I was at a Seal concert on Wednesday night, and here's Seal, famously married to Heidi Klum, and he talked about the song Prayer for the Dying, and he wrote that out of love for thinking of the legacy of people and the circle of life and keeping people together. And I think to myself, music, I've just mentioned country, rap, young, old. I went to the Joe Biden rest stop at 1 o'clock in the morning in Wilmington, Delaware, Christiana, on my way back from Seal, and Taylor Swift had let out in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
To see the rest stop at 1 o'clock in the morning after Taylor Swift and seeing beleaguered parents with children. And just thinking, music, man. Music made my parents camp out for AC/DC tickets for me in 1981 to meet young people. I bet you're meeting people that as a CFO, certainly, number crunching, or just the bank that lent money to commercial lenders, I would think between Bruce Springsteen, Lizzo, Earth, Wind & Fire, Janet Jackson, and you're just meeting different people for your bank. It's good business for people to come together.
It's funny you say that, because I tell people all the time, I said, in a way, I think it's more valuable to have the naming rights to this arena than the football stadium, because if you think about it, and I don't know what the numbers exactly are, but probably 50 to 70% of the people are the same people every game.
PSL holders on purpose.
Yeah,
right. They wanted the same people.
But you look at the arena, and pretty much every show is bringing their own demographic. And so we're getting exposure to a lot more people in that regard. And not to mention the number of shows each year. So, and by the way, that only as many shows as you've seen for this year, it's going to be off the charts next year, because then people will have heard about it, and then they'll be scheduling us.
I've done long segments about this, and you've probably seen them. I know the Oakview folks have seen them before. I had Ron Cassie here from Baltimore Magazine. Mike Rosenfeld and I, he went down to Austin 7 or 8 months ago, and when it was on radar that you might be the bank doing this, and like I started paying attention to it. I'm going to concerts either way, but the notion that this could happen so quickly and that it's actually happened, and I know Frank Remish must be just beside himself because he wanted this and wished for this, and people like me that live downtown that love music, and, you know, I like going to Merriweather. I don't mind driving to Philly. So, but why do we have to do that? Why didn't we have that the last 40 years? The thing that makes the arena so unique, unlike their USB arena up in Long Island, it has a hockey team. Every date's available in the arena, right? There's no tenant. Madison Square Garden has to hold dates for the Rangers and the Knicks,
yep.
where John Mellencamp can't play there, and they can't get Lizzo that night. Lizzo has to go to Baltimore or Worcester, or,
yep.
you know, some other, Reading has to go somewhere else to have an arena to play in.
Yep.
And once this first year it starts to happen and you build the base, then we start to get downtown more built out. And I'm going to leave you with this because it's a perfect segue that you didn't come to Fadley's. You've had a Fadley's crab cake or you've never had one?
It's been a long time.
Man, they're different. They taste different than this. But I was down at Fadley's and we were talking about like good things in the city and things growing. And she put crab cakes out and they got cold. And this is, and Nancy, Fadley's is coming right here in the parking lot, right? Mm-hmm. So Fadley's is going to have their place right next to State Fair. So it's a great segue to talk about crab cakes. That this has been sitting here about 7 minutes now since it got brought. You would say, I got to eat it while it's hot. And I want to end the show. We don't even have any cutlery up here, so I can't even get after it. Mm. But we will. But Nancy Devine, the creator of the world-famous Fadley Jumbo Lump Back Fin Crab Meat, Crab Cake, she says you never want to eat it hot. You always want to eat it at room temperature. Always. It has more flavor. The flavor binds better. So she tells me this. This is back before the plague. When I had that video that millions of people saw me opening a crab on Facebook, it was the summer of 19. She tells me this, and I'm like, okay, I mean, this is the crab cake lady telling me that my crab cake's too hot. Don't eat it hot. And I'm like, crazy old lady, you know. I had a crab cake, and you know I'm a talker, Bill, right? Mm-hmm. I talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I had reheated a crab cake at home, and I let it get, like, cold. Mm-hmm. It'll get cold. Your food will get cold, mm-hmm. what they say in a restaurant. And I ate it, and it tasted better. And so I confirmed it, mm-hmm. and then I had to go back, tail between my legs, and tell mm-hmm. this woman with mm-hmm. this beautiful wisdom, yep. that letting this sit is not a bad thing. Because I saw you getting antsy. Like, you're pulling it toward you, and you're thinking, it's getting cold. I'm telling you, you want it cold.
So you reminded me of something. do you know why people in Europe drink their beer at room temperature?
Because they don't have ice.
Well, no. For the same exact reason
that
you just described.
Better.
It tastes, there's more flavor in the beer when it's at room temperature. So, same concept.
Weirdest thing about Europe, other than maybe the wrong side of the road, if you're on the wrong, you know, you're in Ireland or UK or whatever, the fact that they don't have ice. Like, if you go anywhere in Europe for the first time and you want to totally embarrass yourself as the ugly American tourist, ask for more than one ice cube. Ice to them is a singular.
I've heard.
It
yep.
is not plural.
Mm-hmm.
And they drop the cube into your soda, and you watch the ice cube just evaporate. And then it's warm again because it's 92 degrees and you're in Rome or whatever. And you're like, por favor, mas hielo. And they're like, ugly Americans, you know? We love what we love here, though, you know?
All the more reason to drink red wine when you're over there.
There you go, at room temperature.
Yeah.
Bill Wiedell is here. Tell everybody about your bank, because we'll get to the crab cakes and we'll wrap things up down here at State Fair. And I really appreciate Evan, everybody, for being great. I mean, the crab cake tour, it comes with some side benefits. I'm not going to lie, but I'm just thrilled you had a chance to come out and chat.
Yep.
Because I didn't think we got it far enough in the bank. We need to do more about the bank. But, like, I own a business. I am in a loan I don't like with mm-hmm. a big shop bank that I hate.
Mm-hmm.
Full, you know, can't get out of it. I'm at a rate now that the rates are this and that. I'd love to come to you and say, all right, I'm in my third deal. I'm in WNST 3.0. I'm 55 years old. I'm a legitimate guy who needs a bank.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help me? How do you help someone like me?
So I'll give you some background first. So we're owned privately owned by one person, Jack Dwyer. You mentioned him earlier.
Is that unique?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially for a bank of our size. He's a tremendously successful business person, very much an entrepreneur. And it allows us to do things that other banks don't do. We can do things faster, easier. It's hard to differentiate yourself in the banking world. What we've been able to do is to show people that we are very creative and entrepreneurial when we talk to somebody about a loan, and we're very fast. And interestingly, I was telling that story at a luncheon about a month ago, and a woman interrupted me and said, Bill, excuse me, but I just want to tell the folks here that what you just said is absolutely right, because we worked with your folks about a few weeks ago on a loan, and they were incredibly creative and they were incredibly fast, and it was just the number of times I hear people say that was the best experience I've ever had with a bank. I want to give you all of our business. Because,
well, I mean, I have a real need. If I come to you, I want to hear what you can do, yeah, not what we can't do, right? So when you say get creative, what does creative mean?
So basically, you know, a loan is more about just term and rate. There's depending upon what type of loan it is, there might be, you might need to have certain covenants to, you know, protect the bank. But the client might be a partnership, and each of those partners might have different issues and different needs, and so sometimes you have to be a little creative to be able to make the loan that the client wants and needs, make a loan that, you know, meets our needs, but addresses all of those issues.
Well, it doesn't do anybody any good to have a bad note, right? I mean, like, literally, like, if they can't pay it and they're going to go upside down and you're, I mean, there's no winner. There's no winner in a bad ending, right?
Right, yes.
A bad ending for one is a bad ending for both.
Right, and so when you're creative, you can structure a loan to address those sort of things as well. So, so as I mentioned earlier, we only do commercial lending, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. We only have three branches because, let's face it, the world's going digital. Because we only do commercial lending.
You're not thinking in terms of bricks and mortar, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But what we've done is we've taken all that money that we save because we don't have a branch network, a big branch network, and we put it into our rates. So because of that, our money market rate and our CD rates are some of the best rates in the country. We track that every day. And we've been very successful in drawing business in that way. Now, with the arena, our clients and customers get a certain number of benefits in terms of discounts inside the arena, 10% discount.
Okay.
This is not in place yet.
With you in the future, I would get 10% off my beer when
You're using the CFG debit card, of course.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, and so you get that. You get early access to the arena, separate entrance. You don't have to stand in a long line, and some other things. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take those benefits and then throw in some other benefits because of our position in Baltimore, and create this incredible checking product, because we want to expand our reach in retail deposits, and also in conjunction with that, we want to establish a partnership, preferably with a fintech, to be able to offer some consumer loans, because we know people, you know, there is a need for that as well. And so we're going to basically, you know, go after retail deposits because, you know, we want to be Baltimore's bank.
You're a growing bank. You see,
we are growing.
Well,
yes.
I mean, that vacuum that's missing without Mercantile and Provident, mm-hmm, and First National and the banks that I grew up with, Loyola Fed. I mean, the Oriole broadcast were all banks, right? And everybody, yes, had a spokesperson, Rosedale Federal, right? So there were just so many local banks. And it's such a tough industry, right? I mean, it really is, where the big guys have really...
Yeah.
Well, the Walmart of banking has done in all those names I just gave you.
Yeah. So a couple things. So the big banks control credit cards, residential mortgages, and car loans. And one of the reasons...
That's the country.
Yeah,
that's
right?
The country.
That's the vast majority of consumer lending, right? And so the reason is because, you know, the government, for better or worse, you know, they put in all these regulations to protect the consumer. And so you need to create an infrastructure to be able to handle all those rules. And so who's better at, you know, dealing
with... It's like pharma. It's the same thing. A corner pharmacy can't handle the regulations. My friends at Drug City talk about that versus where CVS can have a network to handle the law, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Compliance,
so,
right?
Yeah, so they're able to scale those businesses much easier than a bank our size. And so, you know, to my way of thinking, most people, if they need a credit card, mortgage loan, car loan, they don't care whether they get it from their existing bank. They're going to go out and get the best deal they can,
right?
And so we don't even need to offer a tremendous amount of consumer lending products, just the basic ones that people can relate to, especially in conjunction with a checking account. So that's what we're focused on. But because we truly want to be Baltimore's bank. You know, we want to be top of mind when somebody wants to change banks. Hey, I'm going to see if
I'm that guy. I want to change banks right now. I'm glad you're here. So in real terms, not for me, but for someone like me, call the bank, email. What's the best way to reach to someone if there is a business owner out there that says, yeah, I don't like my bank, and I was down at the concert. I saw Lizzo, and I saw the name. Because I do think you are a little bit of a mystery. I know you personally, Jack, a little. I've been driving by the tower for 15 years, but you are a little mysterious in that way. So the more to learn, and now that you're out in front of this, people want to know more. How do they do it? Because they don't just go into the branch, right, like in the old days. You have a couple.
Yeah, you can. You go there, you go to the website, the phone numbers. Call us.
Call us. All
right.
Fair enough.
When we're out and about in the community.
Nice.
Yeah. So we run into a lot of people.
Well, I run into you here and again. You and I were at the Mike Elias event.
Yes.
People wouldn't believe seeing me there, playing nice with the Oriole GM, giving him copies of Purple Rain and whatnot. The upswing of sports has been beautiful too, right? I mean, you're a real Baltimore guy. You're a Lansdowne guy, born and bred here. The Oriole Raven mojo, as a true sports guy who's done this for a living for 31 years, this is as much prosperity over the next 5 months, where you know you have a competitive baseball team, you think you have a pretty good football team. We had a plague. We had the Orioles stink for all these years. The Ravens had this, you know, problems the last year or two.
Yep.
This is a good period of hope. It's going to be a good summer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, deep down, I feel like we're on an upswing in Baltimore with all those good things that we've talked about. But we sure need to solve that crime problem.
Yeah. Well,
right?
And that's at the heart of all of it. And once we do that, but the rest of it's here. Crab cakes are still here. The harbor's still here. The infrastructure's still here. Lizzo's here. Janet Jackson's here.
Yep.
Orioles are here.
We have a great city here. They call us the city of neighborhoods, and it's true. And every neighborhood has their own distinction. I mean, I've been in Mount Vernon plenty of times, but just recently I've been spending more time there, and I really appreciate the architecture.
My wife loves just looking at the
restaurants,
buildings.
And it's so every part of town has something special about it.
But we're in Catonsville. They have a special crab cake. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. You know, I'm with like a serious banker here from CFG Bank, so I couldn't wear my Window Nation hat, my wacky floppy hat, but I'm going to throw it on here so I look more official. 866-90-NATION, the Instant Lottery Scratch Offs. We're going to be in Falston at the local on the 23rd. That's Tuesday, 2 until 5. Big appreciation for Bill Wedell. We're going to rinse off. We're going to get some cutlery. I might get some chopsticks. My thanks to State Fair, Keith, Nate, Donnie, Evan, everybody for having us out here today. We're going to be over at the Beaumont El Guapo. They got a pit beef stand out here. Haven't had it yet, but I've had this crab cake. I know it's going to be delicious. Signing off from State Fair, find our friends at CFG Bank Arena or at CFG Bank or right on 83 or on the interwebs. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, signing off from Catonsville.